Welcome one and all to From Our Vantage Point, Vantage Point's podcast recorded on the unceded territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations, where we talk all things not-for-profit related. I'm Rowan King, the Interim Communications Manager at Vantage Point and the From Our Vantage Point host. In this month's podcast, I was happy to once again get to work with a former Vantage Point colleague by the name of Mark Friesen, who is currently the Executive Director of Columbia College in Vancouver. We talked about not-for-profit capacity building, the nonprofit life cycles model, and how applying a life cycles model lens can be a game changer for organizations and their leadership. While it wasn't quite the lunchroom banter of the old days, it was a treat to be able to sit down with Mark again, and I learned a lot from our conversation. Without further ado, let's hop on over to the discussion where Mark will introduce himself.
Yeah, thanks, Rowan, and absolute pleasure to be here. My name is Mark Friesen, currently Executive Director of the Institute for Equity and Advancement at Columbia College. Columbia College is a charity focused on providing opportunities for youth from around the world to access a higher education. And my job there is not to run the academic side of things. We've got the principal and a full academic team and faculty for that, but to provide the additional supports to our students to set them up for success and to set up community impact programs. And yeah, pleasure to reconnect with Vantage Point, where I worked for many years doing consulting one-on-one with nonprofits.
Yeah, and you were here when I was just getting started for, I think, that first year plus. So that was fun.
Yeah, no, it's terrific work at Vantage Point. Vantage Point will always have a special place in my heart. And the work that Vantage Point does supporting nonprofits like the college around the province is, I just think, hugely important for the sector. So yeah, real honor to kind of reconnect with yourself and the team.
Awesome, thanks. So we're sitting down to talk about the life cycles model and how not-for-profit leaders can apply it to their organizations to build up and develop that organizational capacity. We all know and are familiar with the narrative in the not-for-profit sector around capacity and how there's never enough. And especially in the last year and a half, we've seen a huge influx in demand on the sector and its services due to the compounding social issues that we're seeing. So this is a pretty relevant topic for those leaders who are in the thick of it right now. But before we continue with that thought, could you explain the life cycles model for us?
Yeah, for sure. And I actually really appreciate the way you just framed that capacity in the nonprofit sector is top of mind right now. I mean, my interest in this area, you know, one of my frustrations with the nonprofit sector is we went from a grant and funding framework in Canada, I mean, North America, but also Canada, that really emphasized a focus on program delivery, not having a lot of support for administrative costs to support charitable or nonprofit program. And then we leapt in many ways. We tried leaping right to social innovation and social impact without actually taking a step back to say, well, whoa, what about just the sheer organizational capacity of nonprofits? So that focus on capacity to set groups up for success when it comes to community impact, I think, is really important. And that's really where the life cycle model comes in. It's kind of founder or creator of the framework is a woman who did her PhD dissertation focused in this area, named Susan Kenny Stevens in the United States. And really there's similar models in other sectors. So in business world, you might hear of a product life cycle, you might hear of a business life cycle or an enterprise life cycle, or even startup or incubator life cycles. And really this model is taking that approach. So to say, hey, you know what, for organizations, people, things tend to go through stages of development. And that is the same for the nonprofit sector. So organizations that are nonprofits also go through stages of development. The same way a person growing up goes through different stages of development, the same way a new product might go through stages of development, it's the same thing in the nonprofit sector. But we've not, historically, there's not been a lot of conversation around the stages of development that nonprofits go through. So at its core, life cycles is looking at nonprofits through that lens and saying, what are the common evolutionary or developmental stages that nonprofits go through over the course of their lifespan.
Great. Given those stages of development, those common stages of development that you were just referring to, could you explain those a little bit more? I think, you know, when we talk about the life cycles model at Vantage Point, we talk about the five key areas that determine the health of the organization. Could you go into that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things I think if groups are struggling and beginning to think about, okay, we want to talk about our organization's capacity, where do we start? The five categories that you're talking about, the capacity builders, have provided a lot of value to me personally and with a lot of groups that I've worked with. So when it comes to your organization's capacity, the five things to think about are the programs is the first one, or the services or activities that your organization provides. So in other words, what is it that your organization does? And you might think of those as either services or programs. And then after that, one of the categories is management or people dimensions. So who are the people involved in the organization and what is going on with the people involved? And I have to say all the people. So not only paid staff, but volunteers and contract staff, could be anybody involved in carrying out the mission of the organization. Governance is another of the capacity builders. So thinking of, okay, what does decision-making look like? And governance, I mean, people often leap to what the board's dynamics and what the board's reality looks like for the organization, but it can be more broadly thought of as what stage of development is decision-making with our organization looking like. Another one is administrative systems or infrastructure. So this is the building blocks of your organization. It could be the physical space, the office space that you have, but also soft stuff. So software, programs, information infrastructure that your organization has in place, where information is housed, communication tools, anything administrative for your organization. And then the last one, well, and I shouldn't say last one, I mean, these are in no particular order, I should say. The remaining one in my little list here is the revenue model or business model of the organization. So what are the financial resources and what's the kind of the revenue model that supports the work of the organization? So really the lifecycle model is saying, okay, to talk about capacity, think about your organization, think about those five things, and then to simply think about what stage of development are each of those things in? Are they currently in startup mode? Are they currently in a mode of growth or maturity? Or is there some decline happening in any of those stages?
Awesome. Thank you for explaining all those stages to us, or those areas of growth, I should say. So with life cycles model in mind and those five areas of growth, I know that you were instrumental in creating Vantage Point's Capacity Lab. You were part of the team who built it. And for those listening, Capacity Lab is a 5-month guided self-assessment for not-for-profit leaders to take a step back from the day-to-day and pinpoint exactly where these opportunities for growth to expand the organization's capacity are, as Mark was talking about earlier. It allows leaders to create and apply strategic planning around key elements of their organization, which essentially allows the organization to work more efficiently towards its mission. Mark, could you tell us a bit about how and why that program came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try not to go on too long of a history of Vantage Point services, but during the time I was at Vantage Point, I mean, a lot of the focus of the organization was in providing resources, training, and support to organizations in really specific areas. So areas like fundraising or strategic planning or board governance and board decision-making or stakeholder engagement, right? So very specific topics where groups would come and say, hey, you know, we're looking for additional tools in this area. Can you help us out? Well, in doing that work and also doing one-on-one consulting work with nonprofits in all sectors, came to the realization that there's a lot of groups out there who didn't really know where they wanted to start and couldn't kind of pinpoint why things were difficult at the organization, why they were experiencing challenges, why there was a lot of anxiety, why they might have been experiencing tension or significant conflict or disagreement with their respective teams. So from the list of offerings at Vantage Point, they couldn't kind of pinpoint where they were looking for the most support or learning or to do things differently as an organization. And that's where we had seen with the lifecycle model, huge impact in doing one-on-one consulting work with organizations. So the model essentially, it enables you to say, look, we don't have to worry about whether it's a fundraising issue, a marketing issue, a communications issue, a board governance issue. Let's just do a lifecycle self-assessment. Because in doing that assessment, we're going to look at everything. And that's a key takeaway in considering this model is life cycles is really all about stepping back and saying, rather than assume we know what's best for this organization, let's just talk about everything that's happening in the organization, all these categories of organizational development, talk about what's happening. And that will give us a bit of clarity to say, okay, for us and our organization, based on where we are, here are the next steps and here are the next tools that we might apply in enhancing our capacity. So rather than have people try to pinpoint exactly what they needed, life cycles was a chance to step back and look at everything going on. Now, we've been doing the model one-on-one with organizations, but the thinking with Capacity Lab was, you know what, this is good work, but doing one organization at a time is kind of slow, and there's not really an opportunity for groups to learn from one another and share with one another the impact of this model on their respective organizations. So the idea with Capacity Lab is take that same approach where an organization is not going to assume they're going to improve or enhance a specific area. they're going to look at everything. And let's get them to do that together with other organizations that are doing the same exploration. And that way we can reach more organizations with this model with doing a self-assessment, and they have a huge opportunity to learn from and support each other in going through a life cycle self-assessment kind of as a cohort, in a cohort model.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. So we've kind of talked a bit about, you know, the life cycles model, what it looks like, and Capacity Lab and how it applies the life cycle model. I want to take a break here to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll kind of dig a little deeper into Capacity Lab and life cycles model, if that's all right.
Sounds good.
From Our Vantage Point is brought to you by Humanity Financial Management, a chartered professional accounting firm dedicated to supporting Canadian nation builders and movement makers in social sector organizations, social purpose businesses, and Indigenous communities and organizations. The humanitarians on our team work with our client partners to shift the balance of power through finance in advance of our shared goals, to transform this land into the most environmentally, socially, and economically equitable place on Earth. Visit Humanity Financial Management online at humanityfinancial.ca.
Welcome back, and thanks for sticking around. We just left off talking about how our Capacity Lab program came to be and how it applies the life cycles model to support leaders and their organizations. Mark, so when leaders are in the thick of it and they're dealing with immediate demands, it can be really hard to take this step back that Capacity Lab kind of asks of them. What would you say to those leaders?
Yeah, and I would be faced with that challenge a lot. I would say, I mean, nonprofit leaders have a lot going on at the best of times, and then you add things like pandemics, climate change into the mix, doesn't make things any easier. But I would say that, look, any leader, you've probably got a whole long list of things that you would like to do and that you need to be doing to advance your mission. If you do a life cycle self-assessment, you'll be able to step back and just organize that list and prioritize things a little bit. And it'll give you the confidence to address what you need to be addressing one thing at a time. And that's one of the biggest values in the model that has struck me in adopting and really applying a life cycle lens to organizational work, is to say, look, amidst all the things going on within organizations, let's just break it down. What should we do first? What should we do second? What should we do third? And let's get a team of people to agree on that and not stress ourselves about, you know, step number six until we've done steps number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And in the absence of that, leaders are often confronted with just a long list of things that they feel needs to happen immediately. And I would say you don't need to do those things immediately. Do a self-assessment and you can figure out what you do need to do first, what needs to come second, what needs to come third, so you can slow down the pace and get just a timeline to apply with confidence.
Nice. And to my understanding, you can do a life cycles model assessment on your own, right?
Absolutely. And actually, that's a really good question and point of emphasis, because even working with a consultant or a trainer or a team member at Vantage Point, it's really important that organizations applying a life cycle lens do consider it a self-assessment. So they are reflecting themselves on where they're at. So it's not intended to be a prescriptive model to say, you know, if you're here, you need to do this. It's a framework to say, here's some common things that happen in nonprofits as they go through different stages. Based on that, where do you think you are? And then based on that, together with your team, coming up with what you think are the next steps in your own capacity enhancement. And the impacts of that are far more powerful when it is done as a self-assessment. And so it's people within the organization guiding that conversation, because the things that they come up with as a group will have an immediate deep impact if they're, I would say, kind of custom made for where the organization is at. And that is best achieved by having that led by people involved in the organization doing that self-assessment themselves. Absolutely.
Fantastic. So in your experience, I'm talking about Capacity Lab again here and having a bunch of leaders from different organizations in the room at the same time, what has it looked like in the classroom?
Yeah. So a big part of the program, because it is intended to look at everything happening in an organization, is in the classroom. Each organization has more than one leader from the organization. And usually that's taken the form of, you know, somebody from the board and somebody from senior staff working together, and oftentimes multiple board members. So you can get that perspective. And so that the things that they're coming up with can be brought back to the organization from a team as opposed to from an individual. And then, no, I mean, some of the things I've seen is, it's actually what you alluded to with your question about, you know, leaders that are kind of daunted with their list of priorities, is I've seen groups that have very long lists of things they think they're supposed to do. Like in one case, I can remember an organization, there was perspectives on from their team, and from their team, I mean the board and senior staff. Like one person thought they needed to hire a fundraiser. Another person thought they needed a total website redesign. Another person was very keen to create revised terms of reference for their, they had a curatorial committee and volunteer committee. So they just wanted to redo the terms of reference for those committees. The other person wanted to change the role description for the senior program coordinator. And then a last one wanted to lobby the local municipality for more funding. And the thing is, that's a long list of things, all of which are going to take a lot of resources and a lot of effort to tackle. The challenge with the group is they couldn't agree on what to do first, and they couldn't agree with what the priority is. And the challenge for them, which is common for many organizations, is none of those people and their opinions about what to do for that organization, none of them were wrong. Like, it's not like any of them were incorrect in their assessment. But the fact is, there's just no way for that organization to do all of those things at once. There's just, it's not possible. And that's where you get leaders that are just daunted and feeling that they can't keep up, is they've got these long lists of prescribed suggestions from a whole bunch of people, and they just don't know where to start. So with them, going through a self-assessment to say, look, as a team, you're going to go through, you're going to ask these questions and consider, when it comes to these capacity builders, where is your organization? And by doing that, that'll give real clarity to, from that long list of things, where should we start and what should we begin with? And in that one group's case, it actually, they realized that there was real lack of clarity about, with this new staff hire that they'd put in place, the coordinator that I mentioned, it wasn't clear what that coordinator was supposed to be doing and what the existing committees were supposed to be doing. And so before tackling a website, before tackling grant applications or lobbying the municipality for funding, they needed to clarify the role of this new staff person with respect to the committees and how the two were going to work together, because they each thought they were the supervisor of the other. And when both parties think that, it's not really a functional relationship. So they didn't achieve that clarity until they kind of went through a self-assessment and realized where they were at. In a completely separate scenario, another organization, they were convinced that where they needed to be focused was confirming the long-term vision and purpose of the organization. But in the course of doing a self-assessment, it became very clear that the treasurer on the board had a lot of anxiety around their finances. And because we were stepping back and looking at, again, everything happening in the organization through a lifecycle self-assessment, revealed that the organization had been operating for a very long time, over 5 decades. And because of turnover on the board and staff, they'd kind of lost track of where they had bank accounts. It sounds a little scary to any nonprofit leader, but yeah, they didn't know which banks and which institutions had bank accounts registered for the organization, and they weren't sure how much longer their funding would last. And so for them, the reflection was, you know what, this visioning is important, but it can't happen until we get a little bit of clarity around our finances. And they actually ended up agreeing to get and obtain a forensic audit just to get a complete picture of their financial reality. And just doing that gave everybody a lot of confidence and enabled everybody to take a deep breath. And once they'd clarified that, then turn back to the vision and purpose of the organization. So by doing a lifecycle self-assessment, they were kind of able to shift their focus to an area that was causing a lot of anxiety and that was really holding back a couple of members of their team from fully participating. So again, just reprioritizing what makes sense to begin with in that long list of items that is oftentimes daunting leaders with where to start. So yeah, just two stories of pretty impactful realizations, I guess, that happened as a result of teams going through a self-assessment and a capacity lab model.
It sounded like that last example, you know, it didn't just align a team on like what they wanted to do next. It revealed something that a lot of people weren't aware of and, you know, kind of brought the most important thing to the surface, which is great.
It did. And you're right, the way you put it, a lot of people on that team in particular were not aware of it. Or if the thing is, in that instance, even though there was some awareness of it, they didn't realize how bad it was. So, well, and not everybody realized. And by doing it, they all realized the full extent of the issue and that it was a bit deeper than they'd kind of at first assumed. And that just gave complete consensus. I mean, one of the things I hear from leaders all the time is, well, I could propose that, but I've got this staff person who doesn't agree we should do that first. I got two board members that really think this, but it's like, get those people involved in the self-assessment and then they will come on side and you'll get a team to have consensus with where you need to start by going through a self-assessment rather than just beating your head in frustration that your team members don't agree with where you think you need to start.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for providing that insight around the life cycles model, the five, you know, key areas of health of an organization, you know, our capacity lab program that applies the life cycles model. Because this is a bit of a special episode, having a Vantage Point alumni, as it were, to chat about capacity building, a very Vantage Point thing to talk about. My last question for you is just a bonus question. What is a memory you have of working at Vantage Point that could sum up your experience here or an aspect of your experience?
Oh, gosh. Good question, Rowan. So nonprofit capacity building is not for the faint of heart. And the mission of every organization is so important to the state of communities around the province. And there's kind of a lot at stake in the work. So it can be really easy to be daunted by the work. But I always remember the team at Vantage Point I always work with, it would be people that are, for lack of a better word, really geeks about different areas of either nonprofit development or, frankly, pop culture or nerd culture. My fondest memories are learning about really obscure shows and series that I just wouldn't have heard of otherwise. And that was present my whole time at Vantage Point, is on a weekly basis hearing weird, out there, obscure things happening or unknown facts that really a lot of people don't know about, but you can count on the team at Vantage Point. Somebody would know a weird fact about something and would be far too knowledgeable about obscure areas of development. So that's my fondest memory, is just learning about weird things with different team members over time that has just never been the same at any other organization I've worked at. So yeah, fond memories of that and deep appreciation for that.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I remember that as well, like sitting around the lunchroom and just talking about weird stuff. And yep. It looks a lot different these days because we're all online. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting back into the office.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, it was great having you on the podcast, and it's always good to reconnect with you and work with you. So thank you so much for being here and talking about capacity building with us.
My pleasure. Great to connect again, Rowan. And I'm so thankful that Vantage Point has this relationship with the Nonprofit Life Cycles Institute to make this work possible. Just deep appreciation.
Thank you all so much for listening to this month's podcast on not-for-profit capacity building with Mark Friesen. I'd like to give a big shout out and thank you to Mark for taking time out of his busy schedule at Columbia College to sit in on this episode. If this episode got you thinking about how to identify key areas of opportunity for growth in your organization, our Capacity Lab starts on February 16th and goes until June 22nd, 2022. We typically only schedule this learning opportunity once a year, so if you're interested in checking it out, head over to thevantagepoint.ca/capacity-lab to find out how you can sign up. Bursaries are available to eligible participants, and we invite you to reach out to us at info@thevantagepoint.ca to learn more. For everyone listening, Vantage Point is a not-for-profit organization based in Vancouver, BC that works to uplift the province's not-for-profit sector and its leadership. You can learn more at thevantagepoint.ca, and I would like to thank our sponsor, Humanity Financial Management, once again. If you liked this podcast, please leave us a rating or comment on the podcast listening platform of your choice. Thanks again, and I hope to talk at you next time.